And even our dearest friends are not. Sometimes they fail us. Sometimes they let us down. Sometimes they betray us. But Jesus is good to us all the time.
Oh.
He'll never let you down. He'll never fail you. He'll never betray you. He'll never be like, who? You're my son. You're my daughter. I don't know you. Amen. He sticks with us from the thick and the thin. And I thank God that I'm serving him today. If you have your Bibles with you, I'm not sure which scripture exactly I want to start with. Let's go over to Isaiah chapter 58, verses 8 and 9. And what we're going to talk about tonight for a little bit of time here, we're going to talk with this thought. God thinks differently. God thinks differently. Father, in the name of Jesus,
yes.
I pray that you'll help us tonight, God. Lord, that these words will be anointed by you, God, that they'll not be my own thoughts, but it'll be your thoughts just working through this mind, through this vessel of clay, oh God. Lord, that you'll minister unto us and help us tonight, God, by your power and by your spirit, in the name of Jesus. God thinks differently. So before I get started, let's read these verses here. We've all heard these many times. Isaiah chapter 55, verses 8 and 9. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. And so when we think about thoughts, and we think about the thoughts of somebody, we've all had the experience of either being employed by somebody, working for them, or as Riley's still in school and Casper's just starting his school years, and they have superiors and they have teachers and superintendents and principals over them. If you're working somewhere and you can get into the mind of your supervisor and you know how your supervisor thinks and you know what your supervisor is thinking, it's much easier to please that supervisor. Because when you go to do something, the thought's going to come, well, if the supervisor were here, this is what he would want me to do. Or if we're into the school setting, if the principal were here or the teacher were here, this is what they would want me to do. Well, when we bring that into the spiritual realm, it would be much easier for us to follow God, to live according to his commandments, if we could just somehow, just a wee little bit, get into the mind of God. And see things the way that God thinks them. And think thoughts the way God thinks thoughts about people and in situations. And so this scripture here in Isaiah says in verse 8, my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. We think in the here and now. And I was so touched by that sermon that Brother Hawk shared with us last Sunday morning. He was talking about the eclipse, and you can take most anything, and if you hold your thumb out there and you bring that thumb close enough to your eye, you could even hide a building with it. And he gave us the example. He had Brother Eric come up here. Brother Eric's a big guy, and you look at him, and he says, okay, hold your thumb out there. Do you still see Brother Eric? Yeah, we do. And as we brought that closer to our eye, then all of a sudden we were saying, we don't see Brother Eric. We can't see him anymore. Why is that? Because Eric was eclipsed by what we seen right in front of our face. And we do have that problem that we are eclipsed by the here and now, what we see going on. And sometimes it's hard to know what God is thinking. What's God thinking in this situation? What direction does he want me to go in? Because I'm living in the here and now, and this needs taken care of. But we need to learn to see things the way that God sees them. We need to learn to live life from God's perspective, to live it from his perspective. How does he see life? What does God see in my life? What's the purpose that he gave me the life that I have? What's that life for? And each of us look at that from that perspective. God, what is it that you have in mind for me? When you allowed me to be conceived in the womb of my mother, and God did permit that, and what is it that you had in mind for me? What plan is there that you had for me? And I made mention of it this morning. The scripture tells us this in the Old Testament, that he says, I know the thoughts that I think about you. God is thinking about you. He has a plan for you, but yet the problem is we don't know what God is thinking about us. We don't know naturally just what plans it is that God has for us, because as things begin to happen in our life and unfold, it's like, God, what are you trying to do? I'm trying to figure this out. So we need to learn to live life from God's perspective. And what's God's perspective? This whole life that we live here upon this earth, in God's perspective, it's about preparing for eternity. God only really, really cares about eternal things. Yes, He'll feed us. He feeds the fowl of the air. He'll supply all of your needs according to his riches and glory. He wants us to prosper even as our soul prospers. But we live in the here and now. We want the good things. We want the money. We want the trinkets. We want the material things. And we think, oh, if we get all that, then we're blessed by God. But God's perspective and the way that God thinks things, he's not so concerned that you live in a big, beautiful house. He's not so concerned that you're driving the best vehicle that's out there. He's not so concerned that you have a job that pays $50 an hour. All of those things are good and wonderful, but God is concerned about your spiritual well-being. Yes. That is the thought and the mind of Christ. And everything that God does allow and permit in our life, God has designed it in a way that if we let it work through us in the right way, that it's going to draw us closer to God. It's not going to drive you farther away from God. As our sister just testified here today on November 6th, when they had that great turn of events in their life, and they didn't know life after November 6th like they did before, and things are just starting to come back around now. And when that happened, she's like, Lord, what's going on? But God knew it was going to happen, and God means it for good. God's going to work something good out of that. And we think of the story of Joseph in the Old Testament. I've mentioned that the last few times that I preached. When it came right down to it, Joseph's brothers came back down to Egypt. They didn't recognize who he was, and he said some words that are really good words to think about. And he was talking to his brothers, and I'm rephrasing, and I say I'm rephrasing because I know I'm not going to quote it exactly like it says, but he says, what you meant for evil and bad, God meant it for good. Yeah. God had a big plan. He sees things differently than we see things. Yeah. Like I said, it's like our thumbs in our eye. We can only see in the here and now, and we got to know how to get out of this situation. So we need to learn to live our life from God's perspective. And as I was saying, the gospel is God's direction. It's all about the gospel. It's all about every soul that's ever born, every person that's ever born. It's about them making it into the kingdom of God. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all would come to repentance. And I believe he gives every man a divine opportunity to surrender themselves to him. He comes across their path in some way, shape, or form. That's what it's about. Amen. This direction, this gospel that we have, amen, it's not man-made, because man could have never come up with God's way of redemption. God's way of redemption. Man fell into sin. And how are we going to solve this sin problem? What are we going to do? If man would have come up with his ideas, it probably would have been something like, well, if we're going to solve that sin problem, let's make a list of rules, and these are things that you can't do, and you got to do this, and you can't do that. It would have been a mess. But God came up with a perfect plan for that redemption. In Galatians chapter 1, verses 11 and 12, Galatians chapter 1, verses 11 and 12 says this to us, and I'm turning over there as you are, Galatians chapter 1, verses 11 and 12. Galatians 1, 11 and 12. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. See, God's ways are above our ways. His thoughts are above our thoughts. This gospel that's preached, it's not of man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. This gospel that we have, this way that we have, this way of redemption, there will be people out there that will tell you that the church of today is nothing like God planned it to be. It's ended up being nothing but organized religion, and men are getting rich from it. So be it if a person thinks that way, but it is God's plan of redemption. Amen. God is the one that made the plan. Jesus is the way to heaven. He's the way, and he's the truth, and he's the life. And the writer here in Galatians was saying, I didn't receive this of man. I wasn't taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. And so God's mind is that you and I would really get a revelation of Jesus Christ, that we would really understand who he is and what he's done for us and what the future holds for us. After all, the short time that we live here upon this earth, we can catch but a glimpse of glory, but we need to get a revelation of Jesus Christ and of the deep love that he has for us and of the care that he has for us. That is the will of God. For this gospel came from heaven, and it came by revelation. Now over in Isaiah chapter 65, I'm going to read to you verse 2. Isaiah chapter 65 in verse 2. God thinks differently than what we do. Isaiah 65:2. Isaiah 65:2. I have spread out my hands all the day unto a rebellious people, which walketh in a way that was not good, after their own thoughts. And that's God's perspective. It says he's held out his hands. Let's look at this more closely. I spread out my hands all the day unto a rebellious people, people that are just going to do what they want to do, which walk in a way that was not good after their own thoughts. So the question tonight is this. Are you walking after your own thoughts, or are you walking after the thoughts of Jesus Christ? Are you walking after the thoughts of God? And that's where we need to be walking. Colossians chapter 3. I know we're jumping around here a lot tonight. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians. Colossians chapter 3, verses 2 and 3 says this to us. Colossians chapter 3, verses 2 and 3. Set your affections on things above. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth, for ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. We have to set our affection on things above. But it's hard to do, because all I can see is this right here. All I can see is the here and now. All I can see, all I know, Brother Eric, is I have to go to work tomorrow morning at 10:30, and I won't get out till 9 o'clock at night, and I'm going to do that 4 days in a row, if the Lord blesses me. And if man, you know, if it's, we a lot of times we look at overtime as a blessing, but Brother Eric doesn't look at overtime as a blessing. He doesn't like that. You know, if God will, I'm going to 4 days. We just can see the here and now. Whatever it is that's pressing on in you right now, be real. Admit it. That's all you can see. Whatever you're facing this week, this is all that I can see. I got to get through this tribulation. I got to get through this problem. And we do have to face those situations, but we get stuck on those things, and then we got to set our affections on things above. And this is a little bit different, because what are your affections set on tonight? Some people, and it's not wrong, but it can't be the driving force. Their affections are set on earthly things. Their affections are set on their families. Oh, you're an anti-family man? I certainly am not. Neither is God. Or their affections are just set on their grandchildren. They're just so wonderful. They're such a blessing. And they are most of the time, okay? Yeah. When they get a little older, they might break your heart. But we set our affections on the here and now. We said, Eric, believe it or not, there's people that like the job that they have. They look forward to that job. They're sitting in church on Sunday, and they're thinking about that wonderful job they have, and the money they're going to make, and what they're going to eat for lunch this week, and where they're going to buy lunch out. Their affections are set on those things. God said in his word that we are to set our affections on things above. And that means our mind, our affections. Our mind needs to be on things above, on things eternal. Amen. We're laying up where moth and rust doesn't corrupt, where the thieves don't break through and steal and enter. But we set our affections on things above, on things above. And I even fall into that if I'm not careful. I want my house. Now, I'm retired now from my job for almost a year. And I wanted my house to be in such a condition. My affections were set on that house so I could get it into a condition that when I retired, I'm not going to have to get a ladder out and put it up on the side of my house and fix anything, because I'm going to have me a maintenance-free house. Well, ask me how that's going for me later on. Amen. I'll tell you about it. But my affections were set on that. I wanted to put that garage on the front of my house. And 20 years ago, we remodeled our kitchen, and I was preparing for the days. My affections were set on those things. And we have to be careful that we don't get set our affections on things that are the here and now, that we forget about those important spiritual things. Amen. I can get my affections so set on things here on this earth that I don't have time to go to a revival meeting. I don't have time, neither do I even have the interest to sit down and read my Bible, or to get a Bible online. I got one that I listen to, and I can go about doing things, and it's reading to me. I can't do it, because this has got all my affection. This, my mind's on this. I'm just focused on this, and I don't have time for spiritual things. You have to train your mind to think spiritually. You have to train your mind to think on God things. What is it that God would have me to do? We wonder why the Spirit of God doesn't speak to us, because our minds aren't set on Him. Our minds and our affections are set on everything else. that's right here, right now. It's like we've got two thumbs in our eyes, and that's all we can see. Everything that's going on around us. And so God has a different mind than we do. He doesn't think thoughts like we do. His ways are above our ways. His ways are past finding out. And so they set their affection on things above. We should look at life from God's point of view. And we should look for what He wants. God, from your point of view, what is it that you want me to invest my time in? What is it that you want me to invest my money in? What is it that you want me to invest my energies into? And God's going to let you do some fun things in life. God's not the kind of a father. He's not a slave driver. And you're never going to have any fun. You're never going to go any fish. You never go any hunting. Never any kind of sports activity. You're always going to have your nose to the grind, to the grind, to the grind. You are my slave. You are my servant. You will do as I say. God isn't like that. But yet we turn it around the other way, and all of a sudden we think different than God, and soon we don't have any time for God. We don't intend it to be that way, but our life just gets so cluttered and so busy that it's hard to squeeze in time for God. And so we need to look at life from God's point of view. And how do we do that? We need to look for what God wants in your life. God, what is it that you want in my life today? What is it that you want from me this year? And so if we do that, it'll keep you from being obsessed with the here and now. God, what is it that you want? I'm not going to be obsessed with the here and now, because let's face it, most of the things that are pressing against you right now in the here and now, they are distractions. There, I got the word. You better get worried about me. I mean, I'm almost 66. A lot of the things that come into our mind, it's nothing but distractions. It's just distracting us. It seems oh so important, and it pulls our time and our energies and efforts away. And what it's doing little by little is it's squeezing God out of our life, so we can't think like God thinks. Amen. So we need to look for what He wants. Is it possible to grow closer to having God's thoughts? Is that even a possibility, that I can grow closer to having the thoughts that God has, to get it into His mind a little bit? Remember how I started out tonight. You can work with a man or a woman for a while. You can be employed somewhere, and you can get into their mind, and you can just know what they're thinking. You can do that as a husband and wife. I can get into my wife's mind, and I just know what she's thinking in any given situation. She can get into my mind, and she can figure it out. Why can't we get into God's mind and know what it is that He thinks about different situations and problems that arise in our life? We need to consider that. God, what do you think about this? How are you seeing this from your perspective? And so it is possible to get close to God. Amen. To get into His mind a little bit. And the more you look at the life as God sees it, the more we look at life as God sees it, the more we are going to line up with Him and His desires. If we can look at life like God sees it, then we're going to line up to what He wants. Now we're over in Philippians chapter 4, and this is a real familiar passage of Scripture here. These are the things that God wants. Finally, brethren, Philippians 4:8, getting our minds, having our minds taken care of. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things, those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me do, and the God of peace shall be with you. Life is full of things trying to get your attention.
Oh, yeah.
It's no different for me. Things are trying to get my attention. Just the daily task of living, it's pulling my attention, because it's right in my face. It's here and it's now. And I have to respond to that. And as I'm responding to that, I can forget that there's a God out there that's concerned about what's going on in my life, and He wants to work in my life. Amen. Life is full of things attempting to push God out. Amen. And they're important things. Stuff. Your family's important. Your job is important. Doing the maintenance on your home is important. And guys, whether we like it or not, if you're going to hire somebody and you can find somebody in this day and age that will work, God bless you. But realize it or not, very soon, we're going to be out there cutting the grass again. Yeah. Oh, yippee. That's just something we love to do, Kyle. You got little Casper growing up there. Pretty soon he'll be able to go out there and cut that grass. You can sit out there drinking a nice tea or lemonade, just watching him have at it and learning. But see, these things press against us. God wants us to come. Why isn't your grass cut? You're a Christian and your place is unkempt. It's just falling apart. Your house is falling down and your yard's a mess and it's just stuff piled all around. Well, I just don't got time for that because I'm giving all my time to God. God doesn't want it to go to that extreme.
No.
He wants you to take care of those things. Then he'll give you time for both of those things. But those things can begin to push us down. I remember years ago, we've been in the house that we're in now for 25 plus years, and spring was breaking in the year. It happened to be on a Wednesday, and it was one of those first beautiful days, and I was out in my front yard. Obviously, I wasn't the pastor of the church here yet, because we've only been here about 5.5 years. But as I was out there doing that and preparing, and I was running the rake and making the yard look pretty, and I almost dreaded the thought that it was a Wednesday, and I was going to have to shut things down and go to church. It's like, this is disappointing. This beautiful weather God has given us. This work that needs done. You couldn't have had a more beautiful day. I think the sky was blue. Everything was just, the temperature was perfect. I had to lay it all down to go to church. It wasn't in my heart to do it because I wanted to keep doing it. See how easy things can just, we can just push God out. You just push God out. Well, God, you'll understand. You know, it's just this time. I get this yard done. Besides that, you want me to take care of things. I represent you here upon this earth. I didn't go down that road in my thoughts, but I remember having that struggle in my mind. Like, why does it have to be the nicest day of the week when it's a church night and I can't do, and my family was there with me, and I didn't say nothing to them, but I thought, it sort of stinks and I have to stop and go to church. That's a thought that crossed my mind. Don't tell me that you don't face the same thoughts in your minds at times whenever you're doing those things, not sinful things, but things that are pressing against you. Got to shut her down and go to church. We have to have that mind of Christ within us. We have to realize that this life isn't about me keeping my yard neat. It isn't about me keeping my house in tip-top shape and having like the show house on the street. It isn't about having the best car. It isn't about having the best job. But this life is about having a relationship with Jesus Christ. Amen. Because in eternity, that's all that's going to matter. When that time comes that you part this life and you enter into heaven, people have depicted many different ideas of it. God's not going to stop you at the pearly gates, or Gabriel's not going to stop you there. What kind of a car did you drive? How much money were you making an hour? You know, this and that. And, you know, your social status here in this life that you live below. And, well, I got to find, you're going to get a pretty high place in heaven because of all those things. It's not going to happen that way. The only thing that's going to happen, and I don't believe it's really going to happen this way, but people depict it this way. When you meet Gabriel at the gates, he's going to say to you, do you know Jesus? Are you born again? And you're going to say, yes, I'm a believer. I believe in the blood of Jesus Christ. I believe in his righteousness. I believe he was the only begotten Son of God. And then he's going to say, enter in. As people like to depict it, we know it isn't going to happen quite that way. But the point is, when the end of this life, whenever your life comes to an end, all that matters is what you've done for those eternal things.
Yeah.
You can have the most beautiful house. There's a beautiful house outside of Cain, out on Route 6. And we drive by there. My wife looks at that, and I don't know what she's seeing because I'm not seeing it. She goes, I'd like to have that house. That's a beautiful house. A lot of you probably know which one I'm talking about. It's out this way on Route 6. It sits up on top of the hill there. I mean, it's a big place. It's all sprawled out. And when those people were living there, they were looked at as millionaires, whether they were or not. I don't know that. But the point is, they had this beautiful, sprawling place to live, and it looked like life couldn't be going better for them. But what happened when they drew their last breath and they were standing before God? Were their souls right with God? Had they followed God? Had they lived according to God's plan? That's how God sees things. God wants to bless you, and his word does tell us. He'll bless you coming in and going out. He'll cause many to give unto your bosom. But don't become obsessed with those things. Become obsessed with Jesus. As I was sharing this morning, become obsessed with the fact that I am going to make heaven my home. Whatever the cost is, whatever the price is, I'm going to make heaven my home. Be obsessed with those kinds of things. All of these other things will be added unto you. What's the scripture tell us in Matthew 6:33? To seek first God's kingdom, and that all these other things will be added unto you. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. But we don't seek God's kingdom first. Why? Because all we see is our two thumbs in front of our eye. And that represents the things that we're facing in the here and now. And I can't see out into the future very far. I can just see here and now. But if we're going to think God's thoughts, he sees way out into the future. He sees the end of life, and he sees the direction that we're going in. And he tries to guide us and steer us back into the way that we should go. Amen. So the most important need, amen, that we have in our life is we have to break through to God. That's the most important need that you have in your life, that you break through to God in one way or another. And you can interpret that to be a lot of things, but you got to have that breakthrough to God. That's the most important thing in life. Amen. Nothing should be above this, that I might know him and the power of his resurrection, that I might know the mind of Christ. Yes. And we're going to look at a scripture over in Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, we're right there, almost right there. Philippians chapter 2, we're going to read verses 5 through 9. And here's the kind of mind that we should have. If we want to get more of a mind of like what God has and thoughts like he has, here's how we do it. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. But, here we go, he made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. And we shared this morning, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And so, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. What was the mind that was in Christ Jesus? To please the Father.
Right.
He wanted to please the Father. Our mind is, I want to please my wife. I want to please my children. I don't want to be a disappointment to them. I want to please the bank on the banknotes that I have. I want to please my boss at work. And man, all those things take a lot of effort and time, and they do take a lot of effort and time. But we have to have the mind in us, which was also in Christ Jesus. Our main focus should be, God, I want to please you. God is going to give you time to do all of those other things and also be able to please him. There's enough time in your life to do that. And I like this in verse 7, what it says here about Jesus. Jesus made himself of no reputation because he wanted to please the Father. There's a lot of people that are trying to make a reputation for themselves. Whenever your name comes up, oh, that one. Oh, they work here. They do this. They do that. They volunteer here. They do all these good things. They live in that nice house, you know, down there around the corner and up on the hillside. And the lawn is always so wonderful and beautiful. And the flowers are nice. And that their children are so obedient. And it's just the family that's working. You build a reputation for yourself. Jesus didn't build a reputation for himself. Stop trying to build a reputation for yourself. Amen. And focus on what God wants in your life. Because when Jesus, he didn't take up a reputation for himself, but he took upon him the form of a servant. We need to take up ourselves as a form, but not just a form. We need to be the servants of God. God, whatever it is that you want in my life, I want to do it. Lord, I want to be obedient to you. I want to follow you the whole way. I want to make heaven my home. I have but a short time here upon this earth, and it's important that I get things done right. I'm not worried about a reputation. I don't care what people think about me. Man, I'm driving an older vehicle, and it breaks down from time to time, or my house needs this repair, or this needs that. I don't care what people think about me. A lot of that stuff's just reputation. Why is it? And it's nothing against Brother Kyle and Brother Eric. They both recently just got new vehicles. God bless them. That's good and wonderful. But there's a lot of people that do that thing because I have a reputation to keep. I want people to really think I got something. Well, you know very well you don't got much. But if I have this, they're going to really think something. They're going to think better of me. We don't want to build a reputation for ourselves, but we need to take as Jesus did. He took upon him the form of a servant. He took upon him the form of a servant. And if we take up ourselves and we follow God as his servants and as obedient servants, and then God, it says at the end there, that God highly exalted him and gave him a name which is above every name. You will be highly exalted on that judgment day. When you hear those words, well done, good and faithful servant, enter thou into the joys of the Lord. I don't think there's any words that have ever been spoken that can be more pleasing to the human ear than to hear God say, well done. You talk about a sigh of relief, it's going to be like, oh man, I can't believe it. I made it. But there's going to be such a euphoria. There's going to be such a joy that comes over your heart and over your soul. Amen. And if we're ready and we go up in the rapture, amen, stand before the judgment seat of Christ, we're going to experience that. That God will exalt you in that day. Because how is he going to exalt us? We all know how we're going to be exalted if you know God's word very much. If you're taken up in the rapture of the church, according to Scripture, you are going to return with him when he comes back on that white horse with 10,000s of his saints, and he sets his kingdom upon here, upon this earth, to rule for 1,000 years of peace. You are going to rule and reign with him. You'll be exalted then. People will be bowing down to you then. You'll have the authority then. But we're stuck in the here and now. And we can't see someday I'm going to be a ruler in God's kingdom. I'm going to be God's helper. I'm going to rule and I'm going to reign with him. He's going to exalt me. And people are going to listen to what I have to say. We want that to happen right now. We need to think like God thinks. Amen. Think the thoughts that God thinks. Amen. And that we might know him. Philippians 3:10 says this. This needs to be our desire. That I might know him and the power of his resurrection. Let that be your heart's cry tonight. Jesus, that I just might really know you and the power of your resurrection. Judas spent those 3.5 years with Jesus, approximately 3.5 years, they tell us, but I don't think he really got close enough to Jesus to really know Jesus, because if I think Judas would have really caught a glimpse of who Jesus really was, there would be no doubt in my mind that he wouldn't have betrayed him, but he didn't get close to him. God won't force himself on anybody. He didn't force himself on Judas. He knew what Judas was going to do, but we got to know him and the power of his resurrection. God, that I might know you. Well, I know him. I know about him. That's good and wonderful that you know him and you know about him, but do you really know him and the power of his resurrection? If you really know Jesus, you know what his thoughts are. And then you know what the thoughts of God are. You know what the mind of Christ is. And there's probably not too many of us who could raise our hands and say, yeah, I know what the mind of God is. I know what the thoughts of Christ are, because we're living in the here and now. And we can't see, you know, past those thumbs that are in front of our eyes, representing all of our things that we're facing right now, to really see him for who he is. Amen. None of us really understand, myself included, how much Jesus really loves us. Just dwell on that thought, how much he loved us and what he's done for us. Amen. And what you allow into your thoughts, it's going to influence your actions, and your words are going to follow. You got to protect your thought life. What you allow into your thoughts is going to influence your actions. Oh, we can, maybe later we'll sing the song. Before we're done, I might say that 3 or 4 times about different songs. But a good one we could sing is, I want God's way to be my way as I travel here below. For there is no other highway that the child of God should go. Though the way seem long and rough, because that's all I see right now, if he leads me, that's enough. I want God's way to be my way every day. We need to have that down into our hearts. Amen. Paul said that we are to think good thoughts, and we read that to you. Have any of us ever faced issues with a polluted mind and thoughts? You ever had an issue with a polluted mind and thoughts? It's just getting filled up with all kinds of things to the point it's hard to focus on God. If we're not careful, we can come to that point in our life. We need to examine where we're placing our thoughts. Amen. We need to examine where we're gathering the information that's coming into our mind, because your thoughts will affect your actions. Your thoughts will affect who you are. We need to examine where we're getting our thoughts in our mind, where they're coming from. Amen. The issues in the thoughts. Where are you placing your thoughts? Where are you gathering your information from? Are you gathering all of your information from the internet? Man, that can make your mind spin. My mind's just so full of that. I'm just not sure what direction to go. Is the information in your mind, is that all coming from the television? Things you watch on the television? You're sitting here in church and you're thinking about a different show you might have watched this past week, or one that's going to be coming up this week. And it's like the way they end them and the next one's going to follow. And you're sitting there thinking about it. I wonder what's going to happen. Who's going to do what? That, if that's in your thoughts, if you're feeding that into your mind. Amen. The information that you're gathering in your mind, is it coming from books? Is it coming from magazines? Amen. We need to remove the bad intake. We need to have a better diet if we want the mind of Christ within us. And I'm speaking to myself also. We need to have a better diet. Our intake needs to be on heavenly things. It needs to be on spiritual things. Amen. And we need to replace it with healthy, godly things. replace it with godly things and good things in your life. And how do we do that? Amen. We read God's word each day. We seek His face. We seek His face in prayer. Then we can pray. Amen. That'll help us. That'll help me get my mind focused on Him. It takes practice and time. If you're struggling keeping your mind focused on God, you can make that a prayer. God, I'm just trying so hard to focus better on You than what I am, because all I'm seeing is the here and now. God, help me to focus better upon You. Make that a matter of prayer. You can do that. God will help you. Amen. In those situations, you've got to do that. You have to do it. Amen. And pray. That'll help you get your mind focused on Him. It takes practice and time. We all live in a broken world. You don't have to look very far around you. The world is broken. It is a mess. Not just the wars that are going on, all the other stuff just seems minor anymore. It doesn't, the things that seemed so bad before don't even seem like of much importance anymore. We are living in a broken world. And what happens is our eyes, our natural eyes and our spiritual eyes, if we're not careful, they can get grimy by what we see. We can get a blurred vision. We can get a distorted vision. We begin to not really see things as God is seeing things, but we begin to see things as man is seeing things, and man's solutions to these problems. And if we're not careful, our ears can get clogged, amen, by what we hear. We just hear so much. Remember, I talked about things that come into the mind. Our eyes get grimy. They get a distorted vision. Our ears, our spiritual ears, starts getting clogged up. Amen. How does that happen? It's polluted by what we allow into our minds. And we should get to the point that we get tired of the brokenness that's in this world. I'm just disgusted with the condition that this world is in. Not angry, but you're just sick and tired of being sick and tired of all the brokenness that's in this world. And so as a believer, if you put your time and energy into the things of this world, you're not going to have any power. All my time and energy is in the things of this world. It's what I see right in front of me. Took all my time this week. In fact, this week is up, and I'm just talking here, just giving an example, and I'm not saying this happened to me, and it shouldn't happen to any of you, but perhaps it did. My mind was so taken up this week with the things here and now, come to think of it, I didn't even part the pages of my Bible this week. I didn't even pray one time this week. I didn't even witness to anybody this week. In fact, I didn't even think about God very much this week. There just wasn't any time. And then just yesterday, I realized tomorrow is Sunday. Man, I better put my Sunday hat on and get God turned on in my life. And then we don't have any power in our lives. Why don't we have power in our lives? Why don't we have more people like Peter and John that were going down to the hour of prayer in Acts chapter 3? They were going down to the hour of prayer and that lame man was healed because they said, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Why don't we have power? I believe it was Peter as he was walking by the people. They put themselves in a position that if just his shadow would pass over them, they would be healed. Why don't we have things like that? Because we don't take time to get close to God. We just think God's going to somehow pick me as His vessel and His power is just going to just ooze out of me and it's just going to touch everybody. It happens if you draw yourself closer to God. Amen. So we put our time and our energy into the things of this world and we have no spiritual power. Too many Christians are powerless because of the time spent filling their minds with the way the world thinks.
Yeah.
We're powerless. We think like the world thinks. We talk like the world talks. We believe like the world believes. And that will creep into you. It won't come into you just instantaneously, but little by little, it's creeping into our minds. Why is that? We're powerless because of the time spent filling our minds with the way that the world thinks. I don't want to think the way that the world thinks. And there's a nice song that's been written about that. How much time do you spend going through the Word of God? How much time? I was doing some study this week, and it's a good place to start. Read your Sunday school lesson before you come into church. Look at that. There'll be some questions that arise. There'll be statements made in there. You're going to think, wait a minute. Is that really Scripture? Amen. You've got to search the Scripture and see if those things really are as they say they are. You've got to have your mind on God. And Pastor Fraser was hitting it pretty heavy in the revival that they had up there. And if you have any technology wisdom, I don't know, wisdom or knowledge, I guess, about you, you can get online, you can get on Facebook, all of those services that they have up there, you can listen to them online. All of the services that we have here, the preaching we have on Sunday morning and Sunday night, you can get online and you can listen to that again. whether you know it or not, you can do that when you're going down the road and you're traveling. You can get it set on your phone, and you can listen to the sermon again on Monday morning. You can listen to it every day of this week if you want to. It doesn't just have to be these, but there's good things that we can fill our minds with. How much time do you spend, amen, going through God's Word? How much time do you spend worshiping the Lord, realizing who you are and who He is? And it just makes you stop. It just makes you want to fall on your face before Him, realizing how worthy He is and how unworthy you are. How much time do you really spend worshiping the Lord? And we can worship the Lord in many ways and in many forms. Amen. And so today for us, Isaiah 55:8, and that's the first scripture that we read, and I'm going to read that in closing tonight. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways, saith the Lord. So for today, what does it mean? It means as you spend time with God, spending time with God, it's a good place to start in the house of worship, but you're meditating on Him, you're spending time with God, amen, you're spending time with Him, and you're spending time alone with Him, amen. When you do that, you're going to get a freedom and a liberty that you never experienced. Shut in with God in a secret place. There in His presence, beholding His face. Pastor Eastman used to do it. I know one time he did. I remember it. I didn't realize it at the time, but I believe he went on a 40-day fast, and he had a little trailer that was just a hoopy. I mean, he had a lot of children, so he didn't have no fancy fifth wheel or nothing like that. No fancy trailer with an air conditioner and a generator and all the goodies that went with it. It was a hoopy. And he took that trailer, and he went out in the Allegheny National Forest, and he spent those 40 days out there, and he was shutting himself in with God. He was drinking water, but he was on a fast, seeking the face of God, seeking the will of God, looking for the power of God to work in his life. The Bible says, draw nigh to God, and He'll draw nigh to you. Oh, we like that part of it. We like the part that says, oh, I'm going to resist the devil, and he'll flee from me. We don't draw nigh to God, and the devil comes along, and we say, get out of here, devil, in the name of Jesus, and he just laughs at us, and walks right over us, and we're thinking, why? Because you're powerless. You haven't drawn yourself close to God. You've been filled with everything else in your life, and then when you need God, that power doesn't work through you like it should work. You need to shut yourself in with God in that secret place. Amen. You get a freedom and a liberty there. You can't keep away from all the evil that's in this world. Impossible. Right. If we were going to keep away from all the evil that's in this world, first of all, we're just going to stay in this building, and we're going to get rid of all of our phones. We're not going to have any outside communication, but we're going to have a little bit, because we're going to call, and we're going to have all of our, what do they call them? The ones that deliver groceries. There's a little app they do. Somebody will go shopping for you.
DoorDash.
We'll call DoorDash. Okay. We just won't have any, we won't mix with this world in any way. You can't keep away from all the evil that's in this world. We live in this world, and evil is all around us. It's all around us. We see it, it just makes us shudder inside. It just makes us hurt inside. It makes us pain inside. But what we can do is we can keep that evil out of our lives. And we've got to do that. But let this mind be in you, which is in Christ Jesus. You've got to keep that evil out of your life, because that evil is just bang, bang. And it's the here and now. That's all you're seeing. Man, how many of us are really seeing eternity? Not too many of us. We're just seeing the here and now, what we're going to face this week. We don't look into eternity. We don't think about eternity enough. Amen, that day that we're going to stand before God. But we can't keep away from all the evil that's in this world. It's all around us, but we can keep evil out of our life. And how do we do that? We stay away from evil and temptation. As much as you can, you stay away from evil. Your work might not allow you to do that. Now, I hope you're not working in a bar room or in a casino somewhere. You need to pray that God will get you a better job than working in a place like that. You can't keep it away from you completely, but we need to stay away from evil and temptations as much as possible. And evil and temptations can come to us. I've already made mention of it. It can come to us by means of the internet. It can come to us by means of a television. It can come to us by means of a newspaper. It can come to us by means of a book. Do you know there were some old timers years ago that would not read a newspaper because it was looked at as evil? Because it was talking about the evil things going on in this world. They didn't want their minds to be polluted with the thing things and the trends and the fashions that was going on in this world. Yet, oh, greater is he that's in me. I can handle this stuff. Man, I got to know about this stuff. We don't got to know about that stuff. You have to keep evil out of your life. Amen. You got to stay away from evil and temptations. And what you have to do is focus on being obedient to God's word. And the very last scripture is 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 5. You have to, and I'm going to read that sentence that I have written here again. You have to focus on being obedient to God's word. And if you focus on being obedient to God's word, that's going to take all your time. I'm not going to have time to worry about what this world's doing. I'm not going to go that way. And this is what we have to do. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 5. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought in the obedience of Christ. If you want to have the mind of God in you, and it can come in you, and you can get into God's mind a little bit, what's that going to be? We have to bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. What would Jesus do in this situation? What would be pleasing to God? Would we face things that we thought we would never face? We've all faced things. I didn't think I'd ever face this in my life, but we're facing them now. And what we have to do is bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Amen. You've got to let God work in your life. You want the mind of God in you? Get the mind of Christ into you. And you have to bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. I think that, nope, that's not a God thought. That's going out of my mind. Draw yourself closer to God. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray that you'll help us tonight. That, Father, in Jesus' name, that we'll draw ourselves closer to you. Father, that we can live victorious in this world. That we can have just a little bit of a glimpse of that mind of God within us, Father. In the name of Jesus, work mightily in our lives, God. This night, as we submit ourselves unto you, God, we thank you for it in the name of Jesus. Amen. Let's stand to our feet tonight. Let's sing that song. Amen. The one I mentioned earlier. Amen. Everybody forgot what I mentioned.
I want God's way to be mine.
I want God's way. If you want that, you stand tonight and you sing this. Because when it comes to the end of your life, that's all that matters. I want God's way to be my way. Right now, my way is just, it's so pressing. Pastor, I understand. It's a fight that we're in. It's a fight to focus on God and this evil that's all around us. But we have to do it for our very survival. I want God's way to be my way as I travel here below. Amen. Let God touch your heart today in the name of Jesus.
Oh, I want God's way to be my way as I live.
About with the business of life, let this thought be in you. What thought is that? What I'm so involved in right now, what does this have to do with eternity? And there's going to be more times than not, if we're truthful, it has nothing to do with eternity. But it's sure taking all my time and effort and energy, taking all my money, all my resources, and then we need to try to refocus on those things that are going to affect us in eternity. Amen. You've got to build your hopes on things eternal. You've got to think that way. What does this have to do with eternity? It would be a good thought at the end of the day just to ponder this in your heart and to reflect and meditate a little bit. Lord, what have I done today that's going to help me in eternity? And then just think about that. And then the Spirit's faithful. He'll minister to you.
That's right.
And He may even minister to you about things that you did throughout that day that are going to bring damnation to your soul. And the way it's going to affect you in eternity, it's going to put a separation between you and God. Is you're going to hear the words, depart from me, you that work iniquity. Too many times we can just push it off. Like, I'm okay. I believe in God. We got to deal with these things. God, what are my thoughts today? Have my thoughts been on eternal things? My time that I spent this week, that I spent today, what has it done for eternity? How's it going to affect my soul? How's it going to affect the lives of others? I think that would be a good thing. And dear Father, we thank you for this night. God, for this time, I pray that you go with us as we go forth. God, that we go in the power and the might of the Spirit. God, Lord, that we can just get a little glimpse of the mind of God. Lord, that we can learn to think on things eternal, those things that really matter. Oh God, we're all so pressed with the here and now. God, you understand, you know about that. But Lord, we've got to train our minds to focus on things that are eternal. Oh, help us, Father, in the name of Jesus. Lord, help each one this night. Be with us as we leave this place, God. We go forth in power and in the might of the Lord, that your blessing go before us, and we can be a blessing to others, God. Keep us in safety. Keep us in health, God. Help us, God, that we have opportunity to let our light shine for you, Jesus. Lord, that our mind be focused on you and focused on things eternal this week, God. And that God's mind be in us. Thank you for it. And everybody said.